This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, and this is Insight to Israel. I want to thank America's Web Radio for allowing us to have this one-hour segment to bring to the grassroots of the United States of America, the Patriot Conservatives, the inside of Israel, the truth about the Jewish people that struggle for their sovereignty and security on a daily basis. Thank you, because I hear from Americans all the time, Michael, I may never get to Israel, but thank you for showing us Israel through your eyes. Thank you for showing us what they go through. And I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for this opportunity. I don't pay for this airtime. This comes out of their pocket, and God bless them for giving this opportunity. I'm very grateful to these guys. They're the best. And you can listen to their show if you have a business or if you're an individual that wants to sponsor America's Web Radio. I've seen it. They're growing. Their sponsorship is growing. Jump on board. Be a part of what they're doing. Just because of the fact that they are for Israel. They're pro-Israel. They're giving us this airtime. If you jump on board with them, I'm telling you, your life will be blessed when you bless Israel. So I'm glad to be here with another segment. I have a very special lady that I had never met before until today. Batzion, how beautiful that is. Batzion, what's that mean?
Daughter of Zion.
Daughter of Zion. And I first came across this great lady when I was on Facebook, as I have 4,000 friends, and I'm sure that anyone listening that's friends with me on Facebook that I've never met, we have some tremendous correspondence, and it's almost like we're living next door to each other, you know, and just talk on the phone, but we never come into each other's home. And I met Batzion, or what's your, for short,
Batzi
for short, we met on Facebook.
Yes, we did.
And I looked at her page, and she looked at mine, and I got this email from her. And she's like, Michael Gannot, I want to meet you and give you a hug. And I thought, wow, I don't always get the opportunity to get a hug from the opposite sex. You know, I miss my mother, I miss my sisters, you know, and I don't have a girlfriend. And I say this respectfully, but if a woman offers me a hug out of respect, my gosh, I'm going to take it. So we did the hug when we met. We had a little breakfast, and I ate all the bread.
That's okay.
But anyway, so Batzi, Batzion, I love to say that. I feel it when I say it. Listen, I want to say your name, and I just want it to flow from my tongue. Listen, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And so I want to start off. I want you to, you have had a tremendous life. And you're a pure Zionist. I don't hang out with folks that aren't. Mm-hmm. I got no desire to educate them or bring them into the light. If they want to come to the light, they'll hang out with us.
Correct.
You know? But you lived in the United States. Did you come from the United States just recently, 2 years ago when you moved here?
No, I came back. I was living then in the UK. And but initially, when I first left this country, some 30 years ago, I moved straight to the United States.
And I'm not going to ask your age, but go ahead.
No, it's okay. You know my age. I'm not embarrassed. I've earned every single year of my life. And I moved there primarily because I wanted to pursue a higher education. And in those days, Israel did not offer that much of a variety. And America was the golden opportunity, always has been. And it just sure proved itself for me to be that way. And now it's time to pay back Israel.
Mm.
With everything that I earned and gained and enriched myself, I want to reinvest it back in this country where I was born.
Thank you for the breakfast, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
You want to tell them a little bit about the place we had breakfast?
Oh, it was beautiful.
We had breakfast with Iris, his friend, and we enjoyed it. It's in the middle of the park, in the middle of nature.
And the beach is not too far away.
The beach is not too far away, yeah.
We're in Herzliya, Jerusalem, or Israel. Herzliya, Israel.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd like to clarify to folks where we are so they can go on the map and look at it.
Yes, with pleasure.
You know?
Nice, right on the coastline.
So you were born where?
In Israel.
In Israel.
Not far from here, in a little town called Ra'anana.
And you were telling that back in the day, you walked to the beach. There was no bus or anything here.
There were buses, but not as easily accessible and not as easily available as the system has nowadays.
You know, it's amazing, Batzion, because we have it so easy, whether you're... Look, you were saying, and I want you to emphasize this, because it's no exaggeration. Yeah, there's people... This is a very advanced country, but it's not easy. It's expensive here.
It's very expensive, and I think in the 65 years of its existence, Israel has leaped from the Middle Ages to the 25th century, and that's why every year, seriously, every year I used to come and visit, I would notice changes.
Yeah.
As I was telling you, the area I live in now was a desert. It was just dunes. No one would have ever fathomed that you can build a whole city on those dunes.
Wow.
But that's what Israel is known for. We are creating miracles.
Innovators.
Every day. Every day miracles. The whole country is a miracle.
It is. I agree with you.
It is a miracle.
So at what point in your life did you leave Israel?
I was 23 years old, and I...
Did you serve in the army?
Yes, I did. I was in a military entertainment unit. I was a singer and actress.
Nice.
I got late, yes, though. Yeah. And then I pursued my teaching certificate, but the college where I earned my teaching certificate did not award degrees, and I knew I couldn't get anywhere in life without a formal degree. So that's when I moved to the United States, where I was welcomed with open arms and completed my undergraduate degree and then graduate degrees.
Nice. Wow, that's very... So you were done with that, and what took place next in your life?
Then I went and I lived and I worked in the United States for about altogether 17 years. Tried to move back to Israel in the early 90s, but for some reason it just didn't work. So
why did you try to move back?
Because I knew this is the place I belong, but God was not ready for me to move here yet. I guess the country was not... It was not a good match at that time. So I raised my daughter as a single parent. And I divorced her father when she was very young, and I decided to move to a place where I can raise her with the comforts and the ability to give her everything that I wanted her to have, and moved all the way to New Zealand.
Wow.
As far away as we can.
Wow, who'd have thought? I've never thought of moving to New Zealand.
Neither did I, but I did, and I must admit, it was a very courageous move because I didn't know anybody there. And ended
wow.
up living there for 10 years. So, it was a good experience. I gained a lot through that. Met a lot of very interesting people. Underwent some very amazing experiences that enriched me greatly. And then I moved to the UK, where I was for 4 years. And it was the right time to move to Israel. I knew it. And I dropped everything and moved here.
Wow.
With the difficulties and without having... anybody here, that's the place where I belong, and no one will ever be able to outroot me from here. I may travel, I may visit, but
right.
this is my place.
This is the home appointed for you.
Absolutely.
You know, I joke around, Batzion, I love saying that. I joke around because when I hear I joke around with my Jewish friends in the States because they're only right wing. Again, I don't have the time for anyone else. But I joke around with them on Facebook, and I'm making my point. I tell them, I was down at the Kotel praying, and Hashem whispered your name and said it's time to come home. And I post this on the Facebook
page. Oh,
really?
Interesting.
And then I put, I'm just the messenger, LOL, laugh out loud.
Yes, yes.
I'm just the messenger, you know? And I was speaking to a guy the other day, and I said, you know what? And I understand our conversation earlier today, but understand the point behind what I'm saying. I say, look, I am a goy. I am not a Jew. This is not my home. This is not my mother tongue. My family isn't here. My friends aren't here. But I do understand that this is and always will be the Jewish state. And I am standing where a Jew, a right-wing Jew, ought to be standing. So until they come and fill the spot, I will continue to stand here. Because when they come to fill this spot, then I'm going to move until the next one comes.
Good on you. And that's what... Please, I don't like when you use the word goy. Goy literally means nation in the Bible. But nowadays, unfortunately, it has become rather derogatory. And as Iris will, you know...
I'm being down on myself.
No, it's just you're just a good Gentile, a good supporter of Israel. And for that, I will embrace you. Because I really think nowadays, Israel cannot be choosing who her friends are. Anybody who is willing to come forward and support us, instead stand at the spot where you're standing, we should welcome them and be grateful to them.
I have been, I've been blessed every day I've been in this country. It has changed my life, everything about me. And I always had this love, even from afar, but it was like, I wrote this poem called America, My Mother, and Israel, My Bride.
Beautiful.
And my mother raised me. She raised me with principles and values and morals and the good things, politeness, manners, and how to act in public, and all of these wonderful things that made me who I am. But yet from afar, my beloved would call. I'd only read about her. Many people wanted, they disrespect her. They did not treat her right. And there were those that loved her.
I'm going to cry. You're making me cry. Because that's exactly how I feel. I'm really emotional about that because we have no other place in the world.
No.
And, you know, I'm also a daughter of two Shoah survivors. And
explain what that means.
Shoah is the Holocaust. Both my parents survived the Holocaust. And I always looked at their survival as a miracle. As a result of their survival, I was born. I'm another miracle. I'm a daughter of miracles.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to waste the miracle of life. The gift of life was given to me. I was brought to this world for a reason.
Absolutely.
And I'm still looking for it. But I'll spend the rest of my life looking for it. And every day, another piece of that puzzle is revealed to me. And that's why I'm here. Because these are very important times, not only in the history of Israel, the history of the world.
Yes.
And they need every single one of us here. I never told Jews, you need to come here. I'd love to see as many Jewish people here as there are. I had a very wise uncle, and he said to me once, when all the Jews lived in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel, it didn't work out. We got exiled. Then when all Jews lived in the diaspora, it wasn't good because they treated us with disdain and they persecuted us. And now it's time to give it a try, some in the diaspora and some in Israel, and let it see how it works. But I think Jews eventually are all going to come here because it doesn't look good overseas.
Right.
I see and I read more
Absolutely.
And more about anti-Semitism. And what bothers me is that, for goodness sake, there is only one Jewish state in the world. There are so many Christian countries. There are so many Muslim countries. Why aren't they allowing us to live here in the only Jewish place where we can breathe freely?
Right.
You know, I wake up every morning and I look at the sun and I look at the beach. I don't always go to the beach. I live, about 10, 20 minutes drive from the beach. But I go and I bless every time I look at the creation and I'm thinking, wow, this is ours.
Yeah.
No one is ever going to be able to take it away from us if we don't let them.
We don't let them, right. You know, I want to answer that on two fronts. Number one, there's a preconceived notion, and I understand it. In Islam, they say that you're born a Muslim. Now, being a Muslim is not a race. Some people don't like what I'm about to say, but they'll get over it because what I'm saying is the truth. You're not Islam is not a race, okay?
It's a religion.
It's a religion.
It's a way of life as well.
It's a way of life as well. Absolutely. From religion to politics to banking, financing, family, everything. In Judaism, you were born a Jew by design, genetically. Adolf Hitler did not come for the Jews that were just religious. They singled you out by your bloodline. We find this in the house of David. That's how we know that Ruth, who was a non-Jewish,
a convert,
a convert that she is in the line of David, the house of David. And now, I have a different view on whether or not you're a Jew after you convert. My view is you're just someone who, you're not Jewish by design, and because by design you will never understand the persecution of the Jewish people. I'm going to make my point. Mm-hmm. You'll never understand that. Now, if you convert, to me, that's the easy part, even though it's not. The rabbis take 2 years, blah, 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 and you have to go through all the classes. But when the pressure's on, I know how people are. When the pressure's on, I'm German, or I'm something else. But the most beautiful thing, and I think Tel Aviv University has proven this, to me, the most beautiful thing in the world is by design to look in the eyes of your child, not just religiously, but by design, that you are the chosen ones of God. Now, I've never met a Jew yet to have their nose in the air and say, I am a chosen one. I haven't met that. I've never met that. If they're there, I haven't come across them.
But I have to say something about being chosen. I believe in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
I believe that God
Absolutely.
Chose us not because we're better or
right.
because we're worse.
But to
he
be
chose
an example.
Us for example, He chose us for a certain role in our history, to
Absolutely.
Be a light to the nations.
Absolutely.
And I try to live up to that role. But that's what the problem, I think, with a lot of Jewish people, in Israel and overseas, is that they think it's a title that is inherited. It's wrong. It's a title that you have to continue working at it to earn it. It's not like you're just relaxing on your laurel leaves
right.
and you say, I'm the chosen people. God is going to take care of me. That's not how God designed it for us. God intends us to work at earning and maintaining that title every single day.
Absolutely.
And that's what I do. In the morning I wake up, I look at myself in the mirror, I'm alive and well and I'm smiling and I say, okay, today I'm going to fight another good fight.
Right.
And I choose my fights. The most important fight right now for me is to fight for Israel and for the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
I'd love to fight for other people, but right now my time is so limited and my energy is only so much.
I can dedicate
it only to one cause at a time. I promise the world and I promise people that as soon as there's still not a single Jew still suffering anywhere in the world, I'll dedicate all my energies, and it's a lot, to other people's causes. Right now, I can only do so much.
Right.
And this is what I believe my role is, to help improve the world through the Jewish people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay, let me get back on track. I wanted to clarify. In Christianity, you're not born a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You accept the faith.
Yes.
And, of course, I believe that would be the same with Judaism. There are a lot of Jews that do not practice Judaism.
But they're Jewish.
But they're Jewish by yeah. design still. So I think
by definition of the Gentiles. We let the Gentiles decide for us, define what being Jewish, like Hitler. You gave the example of Hitler.
Yeah.
He decided who is a Jew. Your great-grandfather, depending how many generations
right.
back, you're a Jew.
And so am I wrong in my assertion?
No, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right, but unfortunately...
But the wicked people...
Yeah, yeah. take, you know...
Right.
I can trace my family tree all the way back to 12th century Spain.
Wow.
You know, yes, and, you know, we were kicked out of Spain. And I'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
You know, you're at my place now, and I want to show you something, and hopefully we can talk about it as well and educate your audience
okay.
on the radio station
yeah.
about that.
So, okay, so you graduated from, you went from New Zealand to England.
No, from, yes, but before that I was in America.
Okay.
I graduated yes. University of California, San Diego, undergraduate Judaic Studies and English Literature, and my master's degree is from University of California, Berkeley, in healthcare administration.
Okay, so United States...
New Zealand.
UK.
Then Australia for
then Australia,
a while. And a little bit in Canada. And now home.
God bless the Canadians. They are very open about supporting Israel. So when you came back, so your daughter lives where?
In America.
In the United States. So what brought you, why did you want to come back to Israel? You could have done a thousand other things.
I believe in God, and I believe that's what He instructed me to do.
Now,
I did share with you the
Some
lifestyle that I gave up in order to come here, because I heard the calling of God, and that was for me more important than anything else
right.
in the world. I don't regret that decision to come here.
I have found in talking to people when they do things that seem, to the average person, extreme, when they when they use the word sacrifice, I sacrifice, it kind of gives me an indication, if I delve in deeper into their life, that they kind of were selfish when they did it to kind of get their own. But anything that you do, whether it's for someone you love, a spouse, a Jewish state, it's when you do it from love, it's never a sacrifice.
No, it's true.
You don't see it as that.
No, but I gave up. I said,
yeah.
Not sacrifice.
No, what I'm saying, I'm clarifying what you're saying. You gave up a lot, but because your heart is for the Jewish state.
Absolutely, and that's where I belong, and that's where I knew all along. I didn't want to leave this country. When I left Israel for America, it's really interesting. It's because I was forced to.
Right.
I wanted to complete a degree. I knew it was important to have that piece of paper that will get me somewhere in life. And to graduate from an institution, a college that was not awarded or accredited to award me with a degree, I felt it's going to get me nowhere in life. And I called Tel Aviv University because I knew they offered the same program, and the same lecturers that taught in my unaccredited college came from Tel Aviv, and for political reasons they broke up from Tel Aviv. And I called Tel Aviv University and I said, will you recognize, will you accredit me, will you credit me with the education that I got in that college? They said, no, we don't recognize it. Politics. If you want, you're going to have to start all over.
Wow.
And I said, no, I may be a Zionist and I may be an idealist, but I'm first of all a realist. And I happen to have visited.
You worked all those years.
Yes, I worked all these years, and I'm not going to start at the age of 23 another 4 years to earn the same degree.
Right.
I went to America, and I brought all my transcripts from high school, from college, anything. And you know what? They welcomed me with open arms. They didn't know me from Adam.
Wow.
They looked at my qualifications. And they looked at me, at my qualifications, and they even gave me 1 year college credit for my high school education here in Israel.
Wow, that was really good.
And listen, I graduated UC San Diego I was on the dean's honors list, and then I was accepted to Berkeley on a full scholarship. In 5 years in America, I achieved more than I would have achieved in those years in Israel in 20 years.
Yeah.
So as much as I love the country, I remember I went to the American embassy then in 1975, and I went to them and I said, I want to have a student visa to America. And she said, why? Get the green card, apply for the green card. I said, no, because I only am going to America to study. I don't want to live in America. And she said, you will never regret it. Get a green card. It's not going to hurt you. And sure enough, I got the green card. And nowadays, people are waiting in line to get the green card.
Yeah.
I got it as soon as I landed in America in those days. And I ended up staying 17 years. Not that I wanted, but as I told you, I tried to.
But you contributed. That's the difference. You can, let me emphasize that. You contributed.
Well, I tried to. Any place I live, any place I visit, any place, I tried to contribute.
Well, obviously you did. You didn't try, you did.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for that. As an American, as a natural-born citizen, I want to say thank you because. And I don't want to veer off because the focus is Israel, the Jewish state. But anyone that's listening, we have a huge problem of abuse and recklessness that is destroying, literally destroying. I get hate emails. I get hate emails from the state. People act like I'm defecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, they're like, oh, you're bashing America. No, I'm telling the truth about what's going on. If you can't deal with reality, then you're going to drown and choke yourself with what's going on, because then you've created your own inability to change the negativity that's going on.
And you said it's veering off the subject. It's not veering off the subject. I hope you have many Jewish listeners on your radio program. They need to hear the truth about what's happening with America.
Yeah, I agree.
It's becoming more and more anti-Semitic. It's becoming more and more anti-Israel. And we need all the help in the world to keep Israel strong. But I guess that's going to be the next part of the interview.
It is.
Because I will share with them a piece of my mind.
So you came here, you moved back 2 years ago. What was it like? I mean, what was it like?
Oh, it was, well, it's not like I've been away from Israel completely, never visiting in those 30 years.
Right.
But every year that I visited, I could see a change. But it's one thing to visit, and it's another thing to live.
Absolutely. I got to throw in my two cents, because I get tired of these politicians that come here, And they act like they know these people. I've lived here just for 6 months, but I've integrated myself into the society. And when just understand where I'm coming from. When I'm in with these soldiers, when I'm hanging out with Israeli Jewish friends, Michael, we wish you had more people like you. Hey, where are all these Christian groups at that are here? I'm not criticizing them, but if you haven't integrated yourself into the society, you cannot understand what these people are about. So I just wanted to say this.
No, yeah, and I agree. And it's very difficult to live here. I'm not going to make it a secret. It's very difficult. It's a country that's striving to survive every single day from the moment we wake up.
I agree.
We have people trying to throw us into the sea. It's funny when I tell people about when I first decided to learn how to swim. I was 5 years old. And you know why I decided to beg my parents and drive them crazy to teach me how to swim? The Sinai campaign took place when I was 4.5 years old. The Sinai campaign happened in 1957, and the radio, Cairo radio, was transmitting in Hebrew for us Israelis. That was the language I understood then. And I heard them threatening to throw us into the sea, and I was so concerned that I'll drown because I was afraid I didn't know how to swim.
Wow.
How many children in the world ask their parents for this reason to learn how to swim? But that's the reality in Israel.
Wow. Wow.
That's the reality in Israel. Wow. And people, when you give people the example, it's an eye-opener.
Wow.
A child wanting to learn how to swim because she's afraid of being thrown into the sea?
Wow. Wow.
And that's the reason I learned how to swim at the age of 5.
Wow.
I was above the average child, I guess. I took these messages very seriously until I realized they're just lying. But as a child, I was so naive. I was so concerned.
Do you think they're lying?
Our enemies, you bet.
About throwing you in the sea?
Of course, no. They're not. They told us they're going to do this to us. Yeah, but they'll never do it. They'll never reach that goal. That's the desire. But they'll never do that to us because I've heard it ever since then, the whole time. In the Six-Day War, in the Yom Kippur War.
Oh, no, they won't throw you in the sea. God won't allow it.
No, of course. Of course.
God will take out Allah.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Anyway, no. I want to clarify something here.
No, they're lying by telling the world how successful they are.
Yeah.
In the Six-Day War, if you had listened to the radio, you would have believed that they're in Tel Aviv. Just like you remember the Gulf War.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Gulf War?
Yeah.
They said, oh, we're beating the Americans. We're beating the Americans. The second Gulf War. We're beating...
And
I know, and their propaganda is amazing.
Huge.
We need
it's
to
huge.
Learn from them,
yeah.
Don't you think so?
I want to clarify because I made a statement a few minutes ago. We're all the Christians. Let me say this. First of all, there are Christians that come here and spend a lot of money, and I thank God for that. The reason why I say that is because since I've been here, I know there's a lot of Christian groups here. But among the common Israeli, when I say this is what I do, because they ask me if I'm a Christian. And when I tell them what I do, and I know that there are a lot of groups here, and I'm not criticizing, I'm only coming up with a critique. Michael, we wish there were more people. We need this. We need this so badly. But there's people that have been here longer than I have, that have much more money than I do, that I'm wondering why the common Israeli hasn't heard about them.
I don't know, because you have to understand something about... They're Christians and Christians. They're Christians who love the Jews for their being Jews.
Right.
There are some Christians who do things for other reasons, and this is something we really need to alert people.
Okay.
Many Christians come here in the hope of converting Jews. There is a lot of proselytizing.
Right.
Proselytizing that goes on here in Israel. I get flyers in my mail every day, but I'm a strong person.
Ken.
They're weak people. It's very hard to be a Jew. It's easier to be a Christian.
Okay.
Someone died for your sin.
No, you're right.
If someone died for your sin, you have to work hard to make up for your sins as a Jew.
Right.
And it's an easy way out. So we don't want people to come here and steal our souls, spiritually kill us. That's one thing. But we want Christians like you here. Yes, we do. Because you're here for Israel. You're here for the world. You're here for the truth. And you're here for justice.
Well, I appreciate that. I love this country. It's the best. It's the best. Listen, this is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear?
All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel on America's Web Radio. Let me not forget, Middle East Research Center Limited. Batzion.
That's me.
You can never know. You can never watch the news. There's no documentary. There's no one person or even a group of people that you can talk to and hear the words, unless you see it with your eyes, the Jewish state. I have been all over this country, and for 3 days, the guy, a buddy of mine, he's from Texas, a lone soldier. he's now a certified tour guide. And we were doing some video, and I said, Daniel, I want to apologize. This was in the beginning. I said, I want to apologize beforehand, because just driving to Nazareth, driving up the coast, and then going east, I said, I'm going to have to tell you that from what I've seen, that I could have never seen from a bus, 65 years, the ingenuity, the heart, the soul, the blood, the sweat, the sacrifice, the lives lost of those who created this land.
With only human resources, because Israel doesn't have any natural resources. Now we have discovered some.
Ken, now, you know what's funny? I don't want to veer off. I get excited. I could talk about this all day. But I read a statement by Golda Meir. She said, and I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but she said, if I could talk to Abraham, I would ask him why he gave us the only land with no oil.
Moses.
Thank you. But you know the exciting part, Batzion, is that woman not having foreknowledge as the Almighty, as the Omniscient, as the Omnipresent, as the Alpha and Omega, she had no foreknowledge that the very ground that she was walking on contained more, and there was some that would listen to this and debate me, but I can show you because I get the Google alerts, you have more oil than Israel, than Saudi Arabia and Iran combined. And Hashem knew in the annals of future, looking down the road, Hashem knew the exact time.
When to reveal it.
When to reveal it.
Exactly.
When to reveal it.
When the world most needs it now. The world most needs it. They'll be waiting in line now for us to give them the oil, to share the oil with them. But no, I mean, I told you when we started to talk, Israel is the land of miracles. I wake up every morning. I'm in the land of miracles. I'm a product of miracles. My parents, as I mentioned, both Shoah survivors. I was not supposed to be born. My father was injured in his groin during his time as a partisan.
Wow.
So I'm here. I'm here for
Your
a reason.
Your father was a partisan?
Yes.
During
the World War II, yes. I'll share with you some of his stories. I'll send them to you. I translated.
I wish we had four shows.
Oh, well, we can. We can always add more. But I've translated one of his testimonies, and it's in every single Shoah museum in the world.
Because
that's the kind of story we can drink so much. We can draw so much strength, so much spiritual strength.
Absolutely.
The men survived hell and back.
Absolutely.
And that's why.
Kind of like the movie The Dead, or not The Dead, but Defiance.
Yes.
With Daniel Craig.
Exactly.
I have that movie.
Yes. That's the same area where my parents come from. They came from White Russia. And these are the white.
Wow.
And I'll tell you something. In 2002, I am a Yiddishist. I speak Yiddish. That was my first time.
Wow.
Yiddish being the language of the Jews in Eastern Europe. It's a derivative of it's Germanic in its nature. I took my daughter to Vilna, Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, to study Yiddish at the university there. So we traveled to those forests where the Bielskis were fighting, where the movie The Fiends.
I've met two of the grandsons.
Yes, we met with some of the partisans. It's unbelievable. The will to live,
the will to
survive in human beings when faced with it, when challenged with it, amazing.
If you've never seen the Defiance with Daniel Craig, you need to see it. In fact, you not just need to see it, you need to purchase the movie and then show it to your friends and family.
It's a strong movie, very strong.
Very strong. Actually, I'll tell you the reason why I've seen this movie 1,000 times. I'll watch it 1,000 more because there is a will. When I lived in D.C., this was 2011. As things started to progress in my life that would finally bring me to the Jewish state. But I would go for a run every morning or in the evening, but it was just about every day, and I felt this unction to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. I've been there 1,000 times. I live 5 miles from it. But I just felt this unction, and I didn't know why, this inclination.
Yeah.
So I went. I was in my running clothes. I thought, well, I'll just run through D.C. while I'm there. And I walked all over that museum. I walked all over, and I was like, okay, why am I here? The last place I went was in the gift store, and I walked in and I see the movie Defiance. I'd heard about it, I'd never seen it, but it's sitting there with a stack of books. And there were two brothers from New York City, whose parents met. They were in that group of people in Belarusia,
mm-hmm.
and the mother and father were both freedom fighters. And that's how they met.
Yeah, that's how my parents met in the camps.
That's amazing.
If not for the war, I wouldn't be sitting here. There might be another person sitting here, but not the person with the makeup, the genetic makeup
right.
that you now have here.
Absolutely.
Fighting for Israel, wanting to really bring an ending to suffering. Bring an end to suffering.
And the
anywhere.
Lies. The lies purported
exactly.
by the left in Islam.
And that's and not just, it's for the whole world.
Okay.
I really think we are the mouthpiece for the whole world.
Absolutely.
God's message to the whole world.
Absolutely.
They ignore us, though.
So, okay, I'm trying to figure out, because we've had such a great time doing this back and forth, and it's been informative for folks that are...
Yes, yes.
It's been informative. So you came here 2 years ago, and I've seen your Facebook page. You're very active. So I've seen people say you need to run for office.
Yeah. Well,
look, I've worked in politics. I've worked 2 presidentials. Congressional, senatorial, so anytime you want to roll,
thank you.
I'll be your campaign manager.
Thank you.
Because I know how to, I've been, done it all and have been in charge of it all. And we'll work it because you're a Zionist and that's what we need.
A right-wing Zionist.
Right-wing. That's better than Sunday dinner. That is better than Sunday dinner. My God, a Chinese buffet.
Zionist as well, yes.
When you say Zionist, it's like I feel like I'm having like a Chinese buffet of egg rolls and Meng Yufong, you know? Anyway, so you taught school here for a while.
Yes, for the last couple of years, yes, I have been teaching school.
And so you're kind of, you're still... You're going through a different phase in your life.
In what way?
Oh, just mm-hmm. so. What do you envision yourself? I'm going to throw it out there. You're 60, but you look great.
Thank you very
much.
You're
a fantastically
Thank
beautiful
you.
Woman.
Thank you.
I hope I look good. That's good at 60, except more masculine, you know. But what do you see? Because I think you and I both agree on what we see the looming clouds.
Yes. Michael and Iris, I took you through my home here today earlier, and I told you as a teacher, people who come to my home, I want to use it as an opportunity to educate people. I want them to ask me questions. I showed you a framed book of Esther, the scroll of
yes.
the book of Esther.
Yes.
And I want people to ask me why I chose to display a certain part of it, because then I'll give them the answer that will lead you to my answer as to what I envision the world is happening in the world nowadays and what's going to come. I had this scroll framed. What is showing in it is where Haman went to the king and he said, I want permission from you to get rid of the Jews, to kill the Jews. Do you permit me? And the king said yes. And I want people to realize...
And this was back in, for those that don't willingly take the time to educate themselves, this is when the Jews were exiled into Persia or modern day Iran.
Exactly. And they had a good life basically there until this Jew hater by the name of Haman didn't appreciate the fact that they didn't bow down for him, because Jews are not supposed to bow down in front of any human being.
Absolutely.
Just for God. And and what bothered me is that the Jews here, you that somebody explicitly spelling it out for you, I'm going to kill you. I would pack up my things and run away as fast as I can. The Jews could have. They had a place to go. They could have gone to Eretz Israel, to the land of Israel, because this was after Cyrus conquered the Babylonian, won over the Babylonian Empire, and gave the Jews his declaration in which he allows the Jews to go back to Eretz Israel, to the land of Israel, and rebuild the Second Temple. And the Second Temple was already in existence then. Jews, for goodness sake, you hear a message of doomsday that someone wishes to kill you and has permission from the king. Why are you just sitting there waiting for salvation to come from another source? God will help us, but God only helps those that help themselves.
There's that Chinese buffet again.
Exactly. And it's not even Sunday yet. So what I'm saying is, Jews need to learn from our history.
Right, absolutely.
And I said, Jews didn't do it in Persia. Granted, a miracle happened. But then, a couple of thousand years later, we come to Spain, and the Jews have the golden era in the 12th century under Muslim Spain. They have wonderful life. They succeed. They thrive. My ancestor, Maimonides, I'm a descendant of Maimonides, thrived. He was a doctor. Rambam, I'm a descendant. He thrived. He succeeded. He was a philosopher. He was a Renaissance man then, only in Spain. But then comes the dark era where Ferdinand and Isabella take control. The church took over. And the Inquisition era, the Catholic Church, and the Inquisition era started, and the king and the queen issue an edict in which they say, Jews, we're going to convert one-third of you, we're going to kill one-third of you, burn you at the stake, and one-third is going to be kicked out of this country. Again, it's spelled out for the Jews. In those days, the Jews were extremely successful, wealthy, they had connections all over the world. In the spice route, in the perfume route, in everything, in the silk route, they could have gone anywhere. No, they're sitting there and waiting for miracles. And my ancestors were kicked out of Spain because they waited till the last minute when they could have left earlier. And then when you're being kicked out of the country, your choices are limited as to living out of your own accord, okay? And then history moves on. Jews still haven't been able to learn to read the writing on the wall. We're fast-forwarding it, and we're coming to Poland, mm-hmm. or to White Russia, where my ancestors, immediate ancestors were. My grandfather, extremely wealthy, a businessman, extremely wealthy. They're the only ones in their hometown where they had a radio. And every night, he spoke German, every night they would hear Hitler over the airwaves declaring how much he wants to make Europe Judenrein, clean of Jews. And wow. My grandfather is still sitting there calling Poland a land of milk and honey. It's not going to happen.
Sitting
to
right
us.
Next door to Germany.
Right next door to Germany.
Wow.
And look where he is, God forbid. You know, he ended up in the gulags because the Russians entered to their part of Poland during the Ribbentrop-Molotov Agreement. And my parents went through hell. And they ended up in Eretz Israel, fortunately in the land of Israel where I was born. But what I'm trying to constantly teach people is, learn to read the writing on the wall. That's the reason I'm here now.
Right. Absolutely.
I was able to read the writing on the wall for a long time. I was just waiting for the right opportunity. When I could choose. When I could make a choice.
Absolutely.
Not when I was forced to make a choice.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, what's facing the Jews is to have to make a choice. Forced to be making a choice. And that choice is not going to be one that is something that's been they've been waiting for. Rather leave when you can. I cannot, as I told you earlier, I'm not going to tell anybody, come live in Eretz Israel. It's very difficult to live here. But better to come here on your own accord,
absolutely.
Where you can live as a free Jew than live under anti-Semitism, which is becoming rampant all over the world. Look, yesterday we had, or when are we having the Eurovision? Was it last night?
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. The Israelis were attacked in Malmö, where in Sweden, where it took place.
Yeah.
You know, what are we waiting for?
Anti-Semitism is rampant. Look, and you won't have a choice.
And that brings me to the next point of asking the world, explaining to the world, impressing upon the world how important a strong Israel is for their future.
Absolutely.
Israel is now in the forefront of every calamity that ever befell the Western world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know how long they've been checking bags before you were born, Iris? Before you were born. I'm telling you, I remember people checking my bags many years ago. And people were complaining, but we learned to live with it. In America, every time I walk into the airport, I'm being crucified. They put me in front of this X-ray machine, stand like you're on the cross.
And they scan you.
And they scan you. In Israel, they have one look at you. The technology here to fight terrorism is so advanced, and we share it with the world. Why? Because we had to learn how to do it on our own. We paid such a high price for terrorism.
Right.
Now, we developed the technology to fight it, and we share it with the world.
And Batya, you know what? Let's clarify something here, because I love it. I love it. First of all, you've named and claimed exactly what the problem is. Islam, period. And anyone in this country who tries to tell me, oh, there's some good Muslims, you know what, there might be, but they're probably scared of getting out of the religion because they'll be killed. Or either with their front of their face, they're telling you, ah, yes, I've talked to them. I've talked to them. And they want you gone. And Americans had better wake up because it's already infiltrated the White House, the State Department, the Pentagon, the military,
Muslim Brotherhood,
the Muslim Brotherhood, and God only knows what other facets of Islam have gotten in, what other groups have gotten in. And it's either we acknowledge that Islam is the problem. Listen, I'm saying this in the Middle East as a non-Jew. I'm saying this as not just an American, but a white guy. Okay? That's a whole different story right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't fear. I don't care anymore, because if we don't tell the truth, listen. Let's backtrack. I could get off on.
It's such a vast subject.
I get on this horse, and it's like, you better shake yourself. So okay, I want to get this story straight. Pre World War II, weren't there rabbis calling for the Jews to come back to Israel?
There were.
You had the first who flipped Aliyah. I know that. But
yes, there were, and. I've even heard, I mean, the people were just blind. People were blind. Life in Israel was so hard. There was malaria here. There was nothing.
I'm hearing that same thing today, Batya. I hear that from the Jews in the United States. Oh, it's so hard there. I love Israel.
It is hard.
I get that. But somebody else has already created all the apartments for you.
I know.
Somebody else has laid the foundation for a government. Somebody else has laid the highways and
the infrastructure
and the
is here.
So yeah, things are
just
expensive
come
here
and live here.
Exactly. Listen, I am no rabbi, that's for sure.
Did you see the young people we see in the street? Israel is a country of young people. Children run free.
Children, exactly. That's what the Israelis are shocked when I say, even in my small town of West Virginia, the children, God forbid, they could never, ever in a million years, ever walk down the street, grammar school, walk down the street in packs and laugh and run and play. I see it here. It's liberating.
Do you know the song by Pat Boone? This land is mine.
I do know that line.
Anyway.
He was at Yad Vashem. Him and Mike Huckabee.
Okay.
And
it's a movie. It was from the movie Exodus.
Ken.
And I love that line. A land where children can run free. And he wrote that song 50 years ago.
Wow.
And this is Israel. It's
today.
A young country. You know, every family has at least 3-4 children.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's amazing. It's a young country. It's a country that is just unfolding. Every day I discover something new about this country.
Seedless.
And I was born here.
Cherry tomatoes.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, Jews, for cherry tomatoes. I love it.
I mean, just that. There's so many other things. I can post every single day a new invention by Israel.
Wow.
Per capita, more patents registered in this country. Per capita, more Nobel Prize winners among Jews than there are any other nations in the world. And I'm not bragging. I'm not saying we are smarter.
No, I'll brag.
But you know what? In Israel, necessity is the mother of invention.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Even at that age, she's saying
this. We had to survive. We had, you know, the invention of the Iron Dome. You know, and amazing. Who could ever think of something
like that? And now the U.S. is buying it from you.
We're not selling, I hope, the technology, because if the Arabs get hold of it, we are in trouble.
And you know what? Obama and John McCain will give it to them. They'll give it to him.
John McCain?
Yeah, John McCain has been getting on all the talk radio shows.
He's
saying, let me tell you what he's saying, and I posted it on Facebook. The freedom fighters in Syria, we must help them.
Israel is helping them. Israel is helping with the medication. We take care of the wounded.
With the refugees.
Yes.
With the refugees.
Yes.
But John McCain's wanting to arm. He also wanted to do it in Libya. John McCain is a failure. I say it openly. He's a failure. As a man, as an American, and as a leader, I don't care what he did in Vietnam. It doesn't help me today. But those weapons, and God forbid, and I say this openly, $1 that we give to Muslims, God forbid, they don't deserve it. They're not, and they hate us. They hate the Jews, and God will judge the United States of America for $1 that goes to the Muslims and one bullet that kills a Jew. I'm very strong on that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying. I don't mean to get off.
No.
But you want to use? I can talk all day about this. Back on target.
Yes, sure.
But you want to use your home to create dialogue.
This physical home or Israel.
Can.
Because I have two homes. The big home, Israel, and my little private
home. Your little
corner.
Private home.
Yes, I want to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I want to. Yes, I want to. And I used to. I must tell you that I'm paid by nobody. Whatever Hasbara Israeli advocacy I do it out of my own accord because I need to preserve this place. I need to take care of my home. And every penny that I make, I reinvest in this country.
Nice.
I organize little get-togethers here for us to brainstorm and to really have think tanks to try and see how we can help Israel.
Proactive.
And really to help Israel and really educate the world of the importance of a strong Israel. The world is blind.
Yeah.
The world doesn't understand it when if they don't protect Israel, someone will not be there to protect them when they come for
Absolutely.
Them, and they have already.
Absolutely.
They have already, and the world needs to make sure Israel remains strong. Because I keep saying that, and I will keep on saying it. Israel is the bulletproof vest of the world.
Absolutely.
And if that bulletproof vest goes, the bullet goes straight into their hearts. And we all know what's going to happen when that happens.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. And how do I impress it? I wish I had the resources to just scream from top of the mountains.
Yeah, I
feel
that way.
To educate people.
I feel that way. You know, and the good thing is, Batya, this comes Batzion. This comes back to the fact that this is why I'm grateful to America's Web Radio. They're listening. Their growth is increasing, and they've allowed me to have this time to bring you in and talk. And so we have to be thankful for these types of resources because this is your megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
This is your megaphone.
Yeah.
So no, that's great because I think that you have the perfect atmosphere to open up dialogue as far as your home goes. You're very blessed, and you're using that blessing to bless Israel.
Yeah, but I'm only one person,
yeah,
as I said, and there's only so much that I can do.
Well, that's why we met.
But thank you. I really believe now everything happens for a reason. I really believe that. And I look at my life. Maybe I don't know the reason for things that are happening now, but as the years unfold themselves to me, I always find the answer somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's an answer for everything.
Yeah.
And who knows when we may know the answer for this little get-together.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know, but there is an answer.
Let's take a few minutes and move on to, let's talk about foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk, but people don't realize there's a connection between all the Muslim countries here. The fact of the matter is, Muslims will kill Muslims, but if they want to kill Jews, then they'll stop their infighting for a bit to kill some Jews, and then they go back to the struggle for power.
Mm-hmm.
People, I love the quote-unquote PhDs who say, oh, it's much more complex. It's not that complex. But we have Syria, the Assad regime, who's getting help from Russia, who's getting help from Iran. Then we have the faction of the what John McCain calls the freedom fighters, who are being funded by the United States, trained and armed, who want to kill Jews, who have already attacked Israel from on the border, who is full of the Muslim Brotherhood, and God only knows
Hezbollah.
Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and it's just one domino effect. And Russia accidentally misspelled the guy's name, the Boston Bomber,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I don't believe was an accident. That it's not. But what people don't understand, the essence and the crux of this is, and historically, the rogue regimes, the left, I know in Europe the left is considered the right wing, so I want to clarify that speech, but the left and Islam are two incestuous sisters swimming in a cesspool. A filth and degradation, which desires to oppress people, take out any, kill Jews first and foremost, that's at the top of the list, and then any country who believes in freedom, namely that has Judeo-Christian principles such as the United States. Mm-hmm. Where do you, what message, if you could send, you keep up with what goes on, I keep up with what goes on, the call that, that Bibi made to Turkey under the, in the back of a limousine, out of the eye of the world, God only, I love Bibi. Mm-hmm. I would not want to be in his position. But Israel's under a microscope.
Always. I know, and that's why we have to be extra careful. And I voted for Bibi, I'll tell you that. I'm not embarrassed.
I think he's a great guy. I love him.
I think he's the best we can have right now for in the current situation. I don't know all the cards. He never shares it with anybody.
Right.
So anybody who is judging him and saying he shouldn't have done, he should. Yes, I don't think we should have apologized to Turkey, but I don't know why we did apologize to Turkey. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he did something right. But to ask you, the marriage between the left and the Muslim is the most, the weirdest bedfellowship that I've ever seen in my whole life, which brings me to believe that it's not out of altruistic reasons and caring for the underdogs of this world. In Hebrew we say it's not so much for the love of Mordecai as it is from the hatred of Haman.
Right.
It's not so
very
much.
Very well put.
It's not so, it's not, it's my tradition.
Because they really like each other.
Yeah, it's true. They do it not because they love the Palestinians so much, but they hate Israel so much.
Right.
And that really worries me because the left doesn't realize that the Muslim is as far from them as East is as far from West. And the only reason they're together
temporarily
is the hatred for Israel that brings them together. And I don't like people who project on the Jews, and I'm very amazed at Germany. For the Germans to, for some Germans to say that Israel is the modern-day Nazi, for me is projection. It helps them clear their conscience.
Right.
They say, you know, oh, you Jews keep blaming us for what, but look, you're doing the same thing, so who are you to talk? Any comparison between Israel and Nazism is terrible, because I keep saying, okay, you say we're Nazis. Show me a map of the concentration camps. Show me a map of the gas chambers. Give me an indication where the experiment rooms are, medical experiment rooms. Show me, how dare you compare the two? Israel is not perfect. I don't want anybody to ever think Israel is perfect.
Right.
It's my home. There's still so much that needs to be fixed here, but at least we're working on it. People say Israel is an apartheid state.
That's a lie.
They don't even know the meaning of the word. Every time I go and I give lectures about Israel, I carry with me on a little slip of paper the definition of apartheid, taken from dictionaries online, Oxford Dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary. I read that dictionary, I read that definition to people, and I say, okay, now that you know what apartheid really means, show me where it is in Israel. And they're dumbfounded. They have nothing to say, because they cannot find. Yes, discrimination, there is discrimination. It's nature, human nature to be discriminating. You know, in America you have discrimination. In any country of the world, I have a friend who had cancer, and she cannot donate blood. She said, I feel discriminated. So yes, there is discrimination. But racism, which is embedded in the law, nowhere in Israel.
Right.
And that's all I have to say.
They're very free people. You know what? We're going
to
have another interview because I'm over the time here.
I'd love to.
We're going to do another segment on another time. And Batsion. I keep...
it's Batsy.
Batsy. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're going to come back.
My pleasure.
Because we didn't even scratch the surface in this hour.
I look forward to
it, really. Anyway, this is Michael Ganell. I want to say thank you. God bless the patriot conservatives in the United States of America that stand with this Jewish state. You may never get here, but I'll tell you, you can go to Facebook. You can send emails. There's some campaigns I'm working on now to encourage the soldiers so they can see that Americans love them. Because it breaks my heart when I hear the soldiers say, we didn't know this. But and we're working on a cigar thing, too. It's going to be great. But
great.
Anyway, so I want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to America's Web Radio. From Middle East Research Center Limited and Insight to Israel. Listen, go to Merkel, MERCL.org. Make a donation. Specify it for the work here in Israel. Trust me, every egg sandwich is worth it, okay? I've probably eaten more in my life than I ever have at any other time, but that's okay, because to travel this country, to bring the truth to the American people, to the grassroots, is the most important thing.
Anytime and, you want, I want to thank you and Iris for coming over. Thank you for driving this precious man here, and thank you for being with him. I appreciate everything that you're doing for us. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Love you guys. God bless. God bless Israel's sovereignty and security.
Amen.